Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
Recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
10:07, hour two. Here we go, fellas.
Feel my nipples, baby.
Oh, whoa, rather not. That's wild. The Boston Celtics are getting ready to host the Miami Heat, the 8th seed, after... a couple of, well, one not so good play-in game, but then one really, really good play-in game. And here the Heat are. Tyler Hero is leading this Heat team into Boston. Is it TD Garden? Yeah.
Yes.
Jason Tatum.
Beautiful
arguably,
arena, by the way.
I mean, nice, beautiful arena.
No, I've been in there a couple of times. It is, Moda needs significant updates.
Moda's the old, isn't it the oldest arena?
It's one of the four or five oldest arenas now in the league.
Is it really?
Yes, Will.
It doesn't feel like it's that old. It's what, 90s?
Will,
94, how many, I don't want to detract too much from this, but Will, how many NBA arenas have you seen a game in?
Five, four. Somewhere in there.
And was the Moda even comparable to any of them?
Well, the one I saw was in MSG, so nothing compares to Madison Square Garden. It's not really fair. I don't think of Moda as being that old. You know, like, because, I mean, it was the Rose Garden. The Moda is basically as old as I am.
Yeah.
I'm not old.
Yep.
Yeah, you're born in what?
97. End of 97.
Moda Center is older.
94.
Yeah.
94, 95.
Yeah. So... I think it's one of those things, like, it's time to, even Staples Center has had a facelift and, you know, all type of stuff since they moved from the Great Western Forum. But TD Garden is definitely not the old Boston. What was the name of Boston?
It was just the Boston Garden.
Boston Garden. You go. So, but Jason Tatum and the Leprechauns, man, are trying to really prove that they are the best team in the East. They are the consensus favorite to make it to the NBA. At least to the conference finals. Will they make it to the finals? Who knows? But I think it should be pretty easy work with this Miami team, sans Jimmy Butler. For, I don't know if he's out the whole series. I assume he is.
Yeah, it's his MCL, correct?
Oh, yeah. Then yeah, for sure out the entire series.
It's an MCL strain. He's not playing this series. If they go down 3-0 or 3-1. What's the point of bringing him back?
Well, and they don't have Terry Rozier either for game one. I think he was dealing with like some kind of, I can't remember his injury, but they don't have two of their top scorers.
Yeah, that's going to be
Miami.
That's
going
to be a problem for the Heat. You know, I'm not sure if they're going to be
his neck. That's what it was.
Oh yeah, ouch.
His back too.
Yeah. His
neck and his back.
I can't say the other parts, can I?
You guys are funny.
Damn it. All right. Well.
Dang it. Okay. Will just pulled one over on me.
So real quick, because you know, I at least want to really talk about at least you know two of these games, but just real quick. I think we can all agree that the Celtics-Heat series is probably the one that's maybe the least intriguing, just considering the number of injuries for this Heat squad.
Most
is that
likely.
Fair?
Yeah.
Do either of you expect this to be a tough series?
No, I don't really need to add much to that. No, I don't. I don't think without their key scorers, Boston's going to have much trouble with Miami. Hey, anything could happen. Kevin Love could go off for 6 threes a game, and Miami could take him 7 games, but. This will probably be a 5-game series.
Knowing the Heat, I feel like they'll win one game. Like they'll win a game at home, just because like the culture, they like to muck it up. I mean, Spoelstra is still, I would say he's the best coach in the NBA right now.
They got all the guys that Portland fans wanted for Dame. I mean, you know, Hawkes Jr., like, Highsmith.
They're gonna have a game where they just muck it up and make stuff difficult. They're not going to let themselves get swept, I think. But at this point, I think you're going to look back at the box scores and they're going to win game 3-1. And every other game is going to be a double-digit blowout where you didn't really have any fear. I mean, Boston is just so deep. I mean, at any point, Brown, White, Tatum, Porzingis, any of those guys could go off.
They still got Horford.
At any moment. Well, he might collapse and die. He's very old.
He is very old.
He's older than the Moda Center.
For sure. Porzingis is definitely going to need to be Boston's second best player, not just in the series, but throughout the playoffs. They really, really have a chance in going deep. The second matchup today starts at 12:30 on ABC, and that's the Dallas Mavericks, Luka Doncic, which a lot of people feel should be the MVP as well, going against Paul George and the Clippers. Kawhi is a game-time decision. I assume Kawhi will play in the playoffs at some point. I think this Clippers team is really underrated in this playoffs, and I think the best thing is nobody's really talking about them.
Nope. No,
everybody's kind of, you know, overlooked.
Stepchild of LA.
Yeah, everybody's kind of overlooked the Clippers and overlooked, you know, because they were supposed to be good 2-3 years ago. Now I think James Harden has done what people have wanted him to do and taken a step back, and people are still pissed that James Harden isn't, you know, putting up the 30 that we were used to seeing him put up. But Paul George is still Paul George. If Kawhi is healthy and available, I don't see this Clippers team losing to the Mavericks. There's something really disconjointed about this Mavericks squad. I feel like they don't run plays. It's just Luka has the ball, everybody just move. And if you're open, I'll pass it to you. But if not, I'm taking this on my own. And then Kyrie has a very similar outlook on things.
I can't believe I'm about to do this, but I'm about to spend like 30 to 60 seconds talking about why James Harden is a decent NBA player and why we should be rooting for him.
I'm
on
a Harden
the Clippers
guy,
roster.
So
yeah,
I mean, I'm not the one you need to sell. Like,
I'm not saying
I'm a
Harden
dude.
I'm not saying that I'm trying to sell to you, but I guess maybe I'm the one that needs to sell myself or half of like the Twitter or X universe that just always seems to bitch and give really funny memes in response to anything James Harden does, as Jaime Hawkins Jr. absolutely trash misses a dunk to try and get Miami's first basket.
I'm glad he went up with it. He went up on 3 people.
That yeah, Boston leads 7-0, now 9-0, 10 minutes to go in the first quarter. But James Harden, what people do not talk about regarding his game, I feel like, or it's just never mentioned how much he passes the ball. The dude has been an assist machine his entire career. Can he play defense? No. But he works so well with the Clippers and their bevy of scorers. I don't need to lean on Russ Westbrook to do anything. I don't need him healthy if I'm a Clippers fan. But James Harden, oh my goodness, if he can, he's not scoring as much as he used to because he's older. Guys, he ain't LeBron James. Hasn't he spent a ton more time in the clubs than LeBron James has? Like, I know there's rumors about LeBron out there, alleged, you know, different things in his past, but we know where James Harden's been late at night, and I think we're starting to see the effects of that. So if you want him to score 30 a game, that's not going to happen, but he fits in perfectly with what the Clippers can do. And even without Kawhi or him being a game-time decision, it's a 2.5-point line. The Clippers can make this a 7-game series, but James Harden's got to play perfectly.
I feel like the Mavs are going to win this series, but you get to a point where they are too heliocentric around Luka. When have we seen a player that is so ball dominant? I mean, we just talked about James Harden. James Harden in the Rockets. It's the same exact thing.
Luka is pretty much James Harden on the Rockets.
Right. Yeah. Where eventually you are going to run into a team, whether it's in the next round against Minnesota or Phoenix, or if it's all the way in the Western Conference Finals when you eventually run into Denver. You're going to run into a team that is a team, and one player cannot bring you that far. I think the best example of a player getting that far, that deep, all by himself is probably going to be 2001 76ers with AI.
LeBron with the Cleveland.
Right, where yeah. the old Cleveland and the first team that he brought. It's one player who's dominating the ball, and he can single-handedly, because he's so good and he has so much skill and talent, he's able to get the team into the playoffs and even get them into a deep run. But you don't win titles that way. And I wonder if maybe this will finally be the playoffs where I don't necessarily know if it's Luka realizes this or if this is what the Dallas game plan is, and finally Luka can go to management and say, dude, I am the number two MVP candidate. Like, I'm going to finish second in MVP voting, and the only reason I'm going to lose is because you have a top 10 all-time big man in the league at the same time as me. Can you put a team around me where I don't have to have the ball in my hands 75% of offensive possessions?
I think Luka kind of enjoys – I know we're up against it, but I think Luka kind of enjoys having the ball in his hands like that, you know, because he's – nobody's better because of Luka Doncic on the floor. Like, as great as he is, like, nobody plays better because he's there. You know, Kyrie was averaging much more, you know, a game before he came to Dallas, just because Luka doesn't really make anyone's game that much better. And a lot of this is on Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd has to figure out a way to run plays and get people more open, or I don't want to say more open, but even just get them easier looks. But like I said, we're up against it. We got two other games to go up against or to speak about, but then we also have hopefully some Blazers.
Ooh, Blazers. Maybe some time for some Jontay Porter. But
maybe some time for Jontay Porter because the NBA no longer has time for him. But coming up next, we got two other games, Pacers, Bucks, Pelicans, Thunder. Get the homies' thoughts next. Sports Sunday. The Fan.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Big Will Ordner with the cuts in here early in the morning. I'll take it. I've got a long Sunday ahead of me, bro. Like,
you didn't realize, dude. It's not all country and rock music over here for this white guy.
No, I love it, man. I love it.
Southwest Washington, Ridgefield. I don't want to call Hawkinson. You a MAGA flying
Hawkins. Don't call me a sputter.
Speaking of Ridgefield, 21 Savage is going to be there next week.
Is it next week?
I think it is.
They've got a couple good shows out of it. It's a good amphitheater.
I went and saw Busta Rhymes and 50 Ooh. Cent there, just a few months ago.
I've only been to like 2 or 3 concerts where I actually went and wasn't working, but I went to the Future Mask Off tour. It was Future, Young Thug, mm-hmm. ASAP Ferg, and Zoe Dallas.
Oh, I don't know Zoe.
Yeah, I don't
know. No one does. Only Zoe's mom knows Zoe.
Okay, yeah.
Give me some Sexy Red. Replace Zoe with Sexy Red. Let's go.
Well, this is back in 17. I don't know what Miss Red was doing back then.
I think she was too young.
She was doing everything back there, being fast, is what we say. Yeah.
Ski!
Oh, my
God, I love that song.
That is a good song.
Oh, that slaps.
You,
they played that at Autzen every week for Ducks games, and I was just like, thank you.
Yeah, that is a slap, though. Today, hopefully we got 2 games that slap, but probably not. One of which is at 4 o'clock on TNT, we got the Bucks hosting the Pacers. I think the Bucks are the most interesting team in the NBA at this point. They've had such a crazy – all the stuff has happened within a year. You get Damian Lillard. You have a pretty good coach in Adrian Griffin. What has you in the tie for the best record in the league. You fire him. You hire Glenn. Glenn has been terrible, you know, as a head coach, which I think most of us who are basketball fans kind of figured he would be. They've been middle of the road for most of the season. Then Giannis gets hurt about a week ago, week and a half ago, around there. And now the Bucks are going in to play the second place in the play-in tournament, Pacers.
And are only a 1.5-point underdog to the Pacers at home. That's kind of sad.
I think the Bucks are cooked, low-key. I mean, if you ask me as a team – who's been playing with more cohesion for most of the year, it's still the Pacers. Like, they're only 2 games behind this Bucks team who has had a lot of ups and downs. If they had kept Adrian Griffin, they potentially probably would still be the best team in the league. But this is where trying to appease your superstar got in the way of your team actually kind of achieving something, maybe something great, because – it's because of Giannis. It's because, you know, basically of him that Griffin is no longer their head coach. And now they settled in on Doc Rivers. Who is Doc Rivers? This is Doc Rivers' kryptonite, the playoffs. This is where we start finding out how ill-prepared he is for just playoff wins. He's been lucky enough one time to have 3 generational talents on his team, and really four if you count how good Rajon Rondo was. Like, if we're being honest, as a point guard, Rondo is one of the best 10 point guards over the last 20 years, maybe, if we really start going through that list. But this Pacers team, Tyrese Halliburton is a man.
They're loaded, man.
They absolutely are.
They're low-key loaded.
They play, I hate the term, the right way, but yeah, like the Pacers play as a team. They've got incredibly deep roster.
I always seem to forget that they got post-Toronto Raptors Pascal Siakam until I tune in. And it's like, oh, he's scoring 24 a game for the Pacers.
Yeah, we forget that, like you said, Pascal Siakam, their leading scorer on this team. But also you throw in a player like Miles Turner, who is a great defender, especially a great shot blocker, meeting you at the rim. Benedict Mathurin, you know, who's one of those guys that can get you anywhere from 14 to 20, depending on, you know, what he's asked to do for that night. Even Bruce Brown, who's just a sneaky good player who has some championship experience coming from that Denver team.
They fixed a broken Obi Toppin, too, from New York, turned him into a role player.
I thought he was out of the league.
There ain't no stopping.
Yeah, there ain't no stopping the Toppin, and he's out there playing some great basketball for this team. I think the Pacers found themselves in a great position to happen to find a Bucks team that's just not as healthy as they should be going into the playoffs. And wouldn't you know it, it feels like if you're Damian Lillard, this is Portland all over again. Because you're leading in a team, if you're the Bucks, who, again, outside of Giannis, isn't a bad team, but then it's Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, Malik Beasley, who, you know, has played some good basketball. None of those guys, with the exception of Chris Middleton, scares, you know, the opposition.
When I look at the Bucks, I feel like when you take Giannis out of the equation, they're not athletic. Like, no one on their team really worries you at any point of, can they get to the rim? Like,
you're not scared of Cameron Payne?
No, I'm not. He's not bringing the pain, and he's not a house of pain. When I look at this Bucks team, it almost is so revolved around Giannis's athleticism. Like, yes, Dame can still get a bucket when he wants to, but at the same point, he's not prime Damian Lillard. I feel like it's hard for Blazer fans to admit that, and probably Buck fans too, but he is 90% of what he once was. That's still a great player, but that's a player that, in this situation, he should be the Robin. He should be the two. When you don't have Giannis, and I don't feel like the Bucks should feel like they need to get Giannis back faster, this is a scary injury. That calf strain, we saw it with Kevin KD. Durant.
Yeah.
It's a calf strain. All of a sudden, he tries to come back too soon. That Achilles tears, that's going to kill a lot of what Giannis's best attributes are. So this team does feel a little bit like they're out to sea without that life raft that is Giannis. So when you have a younger team like this Indiana Pacers squad, they don't know what it's like to be in the postseason. They don't know that they should be scared of this Bucks team. It would not shock me at all if this turned into a six-game series where you see Indiana come out on top and it's just dumb injury luck and a team that is built around having a lot of shooters around a really athletic, generational-type talent. And when that generational-type talent isn't there, who can create their own shot aside from Dame?
You know, I want to... Maybe it's the bias, but I want to avoid putting all the onus on this on Damian Lillard like some of the national pundits out there are right now, because this has not been a Damian Lillard problem in Milwaukee. This was supposed to be like, add Damian Lillard, click and play, and it's not click and play, so people are wondering, well, why isn't Damian Lillard making it work? Well, he's not the problem, all right? Jrue Holiday was there for a number of years, and for everyone else to try and adapt to Dame and for Dame to have to switch from Portland and try to do a pick and roll instead of with Yusuf Nurkic, two different guys in Giannis and Brooke that he's never played with before, along with changing coaches twice. Like Damian having to deal with the ouster of Terry Stotts in his first week of being there. There's really so much other than the Damian Lillard issue or lack thereof for production that people are saying of, like, that's the problem. I just can't put this on Dame, but maybe
I don't know if you can put the everything on Dame, but I think they had to lose a lot to get Dame. So you can put some of it on him. Jrue Holiday was because of Dame. The loss of Drew Holiday was because Damian Lillard wanted to be traded. And so you lost your defensive presence that you had on the perimeter. You're absolutely right, Will. Like, this is not an athletic team. Not anymore, at least. You know, maybe a few years ago when they first won a championship, but without Giannis, who can just barrel his way into the lane and dunk on whomever he wants to, whenever he wants to, you don't have anybody else that's going to be able to get your shot. And let's just be real, and Portland fans are going to hate hearing this. Dame has had two great playoff series ever.
The OKC one, for sure.
The OKC one, and then the Houston one, when he hit that shot against Houston, you know, to go to the second round. Outside of that, that second round against Denver, CJ was the star of the
show.
That's
right. Yes. And Enes Kanter.
Enes Kanter was who bought the Blazers. You know, Dame kind of expelled all his energy in that first round against Westbrook and understood. So as far as that experience, Dame, like, he knows, but Dame doesn't really know what it takes to get all the way to the conference finals. And now without Giannis, that's the ask. You need to get us to the second round and beyond without Giannis. And now the question, now it goes back on his head, well, can you do this? Because you look at this roster, I think some of these players are a little better than Portland's players, if Portland's players aren't healthy, especially now. But with a healthy Portland squad and a healthy this squad without Giannis, things look pretty similar for you at this point. So now Dame is going to be asked to do what he tried to escape Portland for, which is win without another superstar.
They should have kept Terry Stotts, man. I really feel like that would have stopped the tumultuous turnover as it's happened. And Pelicans Thunder, we're kind of running out of time on that one, but yeah. I think Thunder are going to win in six.
Thunder's going to win that game.
They're just too good. I like Ingram. I like Zion. But
without Zion? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a pretty easy one. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the rest of that incredibly talented young Thunder squad should completely roll over this Pelicans team, especially without Zion. So that's the playoffs. Things are happening right now. Boston's up 23-14 on Miami. So stay with us before you tune into them, and then we can you can enjoy the rest of the game.
Heck yeah.
Coming up next, man, playoffs are here. Who has something to prove? And who don't have something to prove? We'll talk about that next. But first, Will has sports.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan. So good,
I got you. I feel good, man. Yeah, it's playoff time. Unless you're a Blazer fan. We were going to talk about, you know, who needs to prove it, but we talked enough playoffs for the day. It's been about an hour and a half. Let's keep it more local and immediate. And the Blazers need immediate help.
Hey, you're 21-61 Portland Trail Blazers. Yeah, 23-24 season. Let's
tie
go.
For the third worst record in the NBA, along with the Charlotte Hornets.
They make me want to say so many swear words on the air.
Yeah,
but
we
I
can't
won't.
Do that.
No,
FCC,
no.
You know.
Dang it.
So we're going to keep it clean for the day. But it's tough to we've talked about this before. And now that the season is over, you know, clearly you're looking forward to next season. We've been here before. Very good chance Portland, not a good chance, but Portland could potentially get the number one pick in the draft. Probably not, just knowing the way things go for the Blazers. But they need a lot of help in a lot of different areas. Number one, I don't think they can draft another 6'4", 6'3" guard. Let's not go crazy with getting people that are the same size across the board. I mean, and
Joe
honestly,
and Neil seemed to love them though.
Yeah, they love those guys. There's an architect, you know, the archetype that they have, that they want to make sure that they have this speedy guard that can shoot and get to the rack. Cool. I think it's time they do something else. I'm one of those people that feel like the Blazers have a lot of assets.
Yeah.
Let's use those to get something that can be helpful. And I think that's the big question is like, what helps Portland become a better team right now? For me, I think, you know, you could trade some of those assets and get something more.
Yeah.
However, I think you've got a lot to work with. The question for me is, can everybody stay healthy?
I mean, that's a good place to start. They never seemed to, in the last 3-4 seasons, have all of their guys. And I think they led the league in games missed this year. The number was stupid with how many games that their players actually missed. Shaedon Sharpe, we hoped to get a full season from him to see some development. We ended up getting basically half that, if that. And Scoot, maybe in the last 15 to 20 games, started to show something. I mean, so, yeah, you got to wonder if these young kids can stay healthy. That's kind of the first thing. But then also actually watching the development happen. Scoot's still 20 years old. I get it. He's got time. The last part of the season is obviously something that the team is building on. I've made the point several times on this station. I'm not sold. I throw out the comparison to Antonio Daniels all the time. Physically, they look like the exact same player. And Scoot, his shooting did improve, but it needs to improve much more for him to be a number one option in this league. It makes me wonder what Portland's doing going forward with. They've got at least two picks in this year's first round. They've got the 3-4 pick, and then Portland's got the 13th, 14th pick, depending on how the lottery shakes out via Golden State. And you talk about the assets that they have. They've got Jeremy Grant as well under contract for 4 more seasons. They've got Malcolm Brogdon. They've got a couple of veterans that other teams definitely want. And you wonder, does it bode better for the Blazers to keep those? I would say no. You ask what the best plan is for Portland going forward. I would say what helps them the most is tanking next year. Everybody's trying to grab Cooper Flagg, and this seems to be upcoming in this year's draft, one of the weakest pools of talent that we've seen in a while. And of course, it happens to be Portland getting two picks in this draft. So what do you do? I agree with you, Rashad. You try to take these assets that you have this year. You try to go grab a couple of younger players, but once again, we've got to see other teams in the league willing to do that. That was kind of the problem with a Damian Lillard leaving town last year because, well, the number 3 pick, I don't know how many calls Joe Cronin made, but it didn't seem like the league was too keen on getting the number 3 pick for a veteran player to help Damian Lillard. So at this point, you got to go full rebuild. You can't go half foot in or 1 foot in, 1 foot out, halfway in, halfway out. I like the growth of DeAndre Ayton. I still don't understand how he helps this current Blazers team. I feel like he's one of those assets that should probably be moved for some younger assets coming in, and you let Scoot play 45 minutes a game next year, and you let Shaedon Sharpe play 40 minutes a game next year, and you see what you've got, plus the guys that you get in the draft, or that you flip them, you know, and grab a player or two, hopefully that you like and compare with them that's not 6'2".
The nice thing is, in this draft, the player, it's not a deep draft, but a lot of those higher picks, they are big men. The Sarr kid out of France, he's 6'11". I mean, Stephon Castle probably doesn't fit what you want, but again, 6'6", so that's nice. You've got the Nikola Topic, the kid out of Serbia, he's 6'6". Connects 6'6". You've got the G League Ignite, the kid out of Lithuania. He's 6'11". Klingon's going to be in there. He's a 7-footer. So there are some big players in this draft that you can go out and get, and that does feel like something that this team needs. Stop going and getting the undersized guard. Go get a big wing. Let's get some length. I actually like DeAndre Ayton. I think with his age, because Ayton and I believe, are the same age. I believe he's 25, 26. So I do think that there are 25. I do think that there are some time frames that do match up, but I think the key here is just acquire talent. It almost feels a little bit like the old school Seattle Seahawks teams, where I want a bunch of draft picks, and I just want to get as many people in as I can, and then we'll see if you can fit our mold. It isn't necessarily about well, this is the number one guy in this class, so that's what we should get. It's let's get the best player available that fits a need that we have. We need bigger guys here in Portland. We need longer guys. We need that length. Let's go get those types of players, bring them in, and just let them play and see what happens.
I don't disagree with that. I think that's another way to go. The good thing for Portland is you have a lot of options as far as what you want to do. You've got the capital to make sure you can make it happen. And there are probably some teams, especially some of those teams that maybe were just outside the play-in or were in the play-in, or even you're a 6, 7, 8 seed and you're just looking for more, looking for an opportunity to grow. And there might be some teams that are willing to part with, you know, a good piece that Portland can use. As long as it's not a guard, I'm looking at a guy like Cade Cunningham, 6'6" guard. And mind you, I don't know if Detroit's going to move off of him. However, if you can offer 2 first-round picks.
He's awesome. Cade's really good.
Cade is really good, but we can all agree that, like Portland, Detroit is going nowhere right now. And so maybe a kind of swiping a star or a budding star from one of these teams that's still trying to figure out how they can get to the next level, and maybe a couple draft picks and maybe some promises of some draft picks in the future could be something that they're interested in. But the Blazers have a lot of work to do. This should be an interesting offseason. Still waiting to see where they land in the draft, because I think that's going to kind of better help us understand exactly what they may do.
And right. Because if you land like 2 or 3, you really, you know, 1, 2, or 3, you're going to get
your probably going to stay there. Yeah, you're going to stay there.
If you land like 7 or 8, that might be a position to move off it. Or if you're like, hey, everyone who landed in front of us is – they need guards. Well, maybe we can have someone that falls to us. Maybe the Colorado kid falls to us. It's not like you have to take a guy who's ready right now either.
No.
You can take the raw development project because you have so much time. Like, you shouldn't be a playoff team for another 3 years.
I hope they don't, because that's how you end up getting stuck with Zach Collins.
When you get stuck with Zach Collins because...
But he's hoping now. So,
but they need a pillar of your franchise.
They need to go full tank next year. They need to lean into it. They can't do this half foot in, half foot out thing. They can't have a Jeremy Grant type on the roster. There's no need for veteran leadership. This is a development only team. Get players only on the roster that you need to develop.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a way to go. Or they can just totally just kind of wipe everything off the board and start again. We'll see.
I mean, Chauncey and Joe aren't even on the same page.
So we'll see. Hopefully Chauncey isn't here at all. But we'll see, you know, what it is. Blazer fans, strap in. It's going to be a long year, more than likely. So coming up next, we'll go ahead and tie a bow on it. Does that sound cool?
It's been really fun, man.
Oh, man, yeah. I've had a good time, man. Happy Sunday to everybody. We're coming back right here. Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Wrapping things up here on The Fan. Man, I want to go to a good concert, man. Just hearing that, you know, that Pharrell and was that Danger Mouse?
No, that's Daft Punk.
Daft Punk, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that Get Lucky, you know. I'd be cool to go to a good concert. It's been a little bit. Last one I went to was Wu-Tang and Nas. Which was...
That's a pretty good... Was that back in December?
That was October? In October.
I was going to say, my old roommate went to that. He was nice. Very excited.
Oh, my gosh. It was the dopest concert I've ever been to. I've been lucky enough to see a lot of really, really cool people, you know, live. I saw Stevie Wonder in concert, bro.
What?
Yeah. In Vegas, they used to do this thing called... I'm going to channel my inner Luke Anderson. So when I lived in Vegas...
back in the day when I was in... I lived in Las Vegas once.
Yeah. There was this concert that Tiger Woods used to host called the Tiger Jam. And this year's... that year's headliner was Stevie Wonder, and Counting Crows was like the opening act.
Oh, my God.
I like Counting Crows.
Okay.
They were pretty okay.
That's the Mr. Jones and Me, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't really know.
Jones and Me.
Oh, so yeah.
Jordan definitely knows. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm one stereo. I don't know the words, but I know what it sounds like.
Man, it was awesome. Prince came out. That was the coolest part. Like, so
what?
Stevie's playing Superstition, and all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, Prince. And he comes out. But the cool part was, man, Stevie was doing dance moves and stuff like that. Dude. He had a whole dance routine. Stevie's not blind.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, You're buying the rumors that he's not blind
Stevie
at all?
I mean, I've heard enough stories from enough people to where they've been like, man, Stevie can look. He drives a car. Like, I mean.
No, the conspiracy theories are there. Like, he's standing in front of you and he's like, hey, what's up, Shaq? Like, I can't remember who said it, but there was a famous athlete out there.
It was
like,
Shaq.
Yeah, it was. It was Shaq. Yeah. He's like, I was standing right there and he's like, oh, what's going on, big dog or big Shaq? And Shaq's like, what? Like,
I don't know. The Mariah Carey video that he had the other, like, 2 months ago, that's pretty rough. He seems blind in that one. Oh, have you not seen it?
I don't think I have.
Maybe he just didn't want to say hi to Mariah Carey.
No, it's him and, like, he introduces Mariah Carey to win some award.
Oh, and yeah. He
goes get the microphone and, like, try and give it to her. But she has walked past and around him to the other microphone.
See, Mariah's playing games.
And Mariah, like, that's a total D-bag move on
her. He takes his microphone and is like, I'm going to be a perfect gentleman and give this to Mariah Carey. And Mariah Carey just, like, kind of, I don't know that she saw it or, like, ignored it, but she just, like, walked around. And so then there's Stevie Wonder trying to give Mariah Carey this microphone, and she is nowhere to be found. It's a tough video.
You just left him on stage.
I don't want to say, like, it's all on Mariah Carey. Like, maybe she was just, like, overcome with the moment. Like, I've got it.
Mariah knew what she was doing. Listen, when you're Mariah Carey, yeah. you know what you're doing at that point. But, yeah, Stevie was an amazing concert. So I'm curious, man, starting with you, Jordan, do you have a favorite concert you've been to or the best concert you've been to?
I mean, the most recent one was the Fall Out Boy concert at Moda, I think at the end of February.
Dance.
Thank you. Yes, it was really good. Jimmy Eat World, the opener, was not as good. I know Joe's talked about it several times on this show, and the Hot Corner. Michael Bublé is one of my favorite artists of all time. He puts on an amazing show. Yeah, God, what a voice that dude has. So you can all tell I'm getting turned on just talking about him. I've probably seen him 4 times. Moody Blues, first show I ever went to when I was 6 years old. I'll never forget it. Half their band is dead now, but still one of the best shows I've ever been to. So,
yeah, I've been to a lot of concerts. I have not been to a lot of concerts where I wasn't working. So I think that gives me a little bit of a different vibe on it.
That's fair.
I really like Future. I thought he did a really good job. I thought Young Thug sucked. Don't go to a Young Thug concert. Although you might not have the opportunity to go.
No,
to
he's
him.
Probably not going to be. He's only doing concerts in jail now. He's
winning
all the talent shows.
He
in
might
jail.
Be doing the Folsom Blues.
Yeah.
Let's see. I used to work Watershed, so I worked a couple Watersheds. Luke Bryant put on a great show. Very good. Dierks Bentley was all right. I didn't hate Dierks Bentley. Darius Rucker was awesome. That was a great concert to work. And then anything EDM, don't do it. It's the worst thing of all time. I almost went bald 4 years earlier because they almost set my hair on fire. It is horrible. Don't go to any EDM festivals. If someone asks you to go to an EDM festival, you need to delete their phone number from your phone. Do not be friends with them. EDM is not my jam.
I'm going to say this. I'm not a big festival dude.
They're interesting.
I don't care that much to be there for that long for that many different artists. So I happened to be at, it's called Lovers and Friends, and it's in Vegas. And, you know, everybody was there. It was Usher and Lil' Kim, all these people. And literally by halfway through it, I was like, okay, ready to go back to my hotel. It's hot. It's crowded. It's whatever. Like, it's too much standing. I'm cool.
Getting old's fun, isn't it?
I love it.
Well, it's too long, and no one takes a shower. So by day 3, everyone smells like you know what.
Yeah,
and everyone's
all
drinking
one day
too much.
Thing too, so it was,
yeah, it's so disconcerting when you walk in at the beginning of, like, a festival or celebration. A lot of hot people around, and they're all just yummy, and then in about 2 hours, they all smell like complete blah. Well, like, no thanks.
Well, I mean, I want you guys to enjoy your Sunday, though. Get out there, do some festivals, do some everything. Will, thanks for coming in, bro. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you, boys.
Absolutely, man. For Will Ortner, for Jordan Schultz, Rashad Taylor. Mahalo at y'all next week. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What?
Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.